Philly's own, dare I say North Philly's own. He represents the 9th District.
My district.
The Councilmanic District that was once held by Mayor Sherelle Parker.
That is correct.
He's earned his master's from Yale University and his PhD from the University of Massachusetts, Amherst. A well-credentialed young man, Anthony Phillips. Welcome to Court Radio, sir.
Good morning, Dean. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. I don't know that we've had the opportunity to meet in person, but it is certainly good to have you on the show today, and I look forward to meeting you. You're involved, and why we brought you on today is you're involved in something called the Non-Resident Landlord Accountability Ordinance. Man,
wow.
That's a mouthful.
Wow. There's no acronym for that?
Yeah. NLAO.
Okay.
NALO.
NALO.
All right.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Manuel, too.
Good morning, young man.
Yes.
Yeah.
You will refer to him as Dr. Phillips.
I'm sorry, Dr. Phillips. Forgive
me. There you go.
Doctor!
Anthony, what is NALO for those who are listening, and why should we care?
We should care because there are too many landlords in the city of Philadelphia who own properties, and they're not reachable. We know that there's tenants who are oftentimes they have hardships. They face difficulties with urgent repairs that they need to redress and often don't know who to contact when these emergencies are happening. And sometimes they contact the city. The city issues a violation, for some sort of repair that's happening that the landlord didn't repair. And then you can't even get in contact with the landlord. So what this bill does is that it creates accountability for the fact that if a landlord is not reachable, they could be subject to not only fines of up to $500 per day, but they can also have their rental license suspended for continued non-compliance. And so the bill says that you have to be required to have a verifiable contact information for every licensed property in the city of Philadelphia. So no more P.O. boxes or unverifiable addresses or contact numbers. Now we're asking license and inspections to actually verify the contact numbers of these properties. And if they call and they can't be reached after a certain number of times, then they could be subject to losing their license because it's unfair that tenants have to sit through issues and then we don't have recourse on how to solve the problem.
Where is it in the process at this point? I mean, is it the law now or not?
Well, it's going to become law. It's up for vote this Thursday. The majority of city council members, I believe all of them, are supportive of this because most of them have had issues with faster response property to violations when it comes to unresponsive landlords. So it will become law probably 7 days, 7 days after it's passed on this coming Thursday.
Okay. So that gives us a time frame. So a week from this coming Thursday, assuming it passes on Thursday, which you expect it will, it will become the law of the land in Philadelphia.
Yes, sir.
How long would a landlord have to become compliant with it before they could be fined? And what is the consequence? Is it a fine initially, or what happens if they don't live up to this new law?
Right. So within the current framework, a landlord should have at least about 3 weeks to come compliant with basically reaching, being in contact with us. And then also what's going to happen is the first offense is going to be $100 fine. The subsequent offense is going to be $500 per violation. And then repeated violations with no response after about, 3 weeks. They can, basically, we can result in license suspension, denial, or
some attacks are easier to spot than others. So what should you watch out for? You should be automatically cautious of any unexpected emails you receive.
You were doing
this. Keep an eye out for spelling mistakes and poor grammar within an email, as these are always a dangerous sign and should immediately prompt you to act cautiously. Also, pay attention to the kind of language that is being used. Does it have a threatening feel to it? If the content appears to be playing with your emotions by creating a sense of fear, urgency, sympathy, or excitement, it is likely that what you have received is a phishing email. For example, the email might contain specific instructions to keep the message a secret from your boss or other people in your organization. It's also important to go back to basics with recognizing the warning signs.
Right.
Check whether the sender's display name matches the sending email address. You might receive an email that appears to come from an organization you know, yet the sending email address doesn't match up to the organization's official email address. Coming instead from a public
tenant,
email service, like Gmail,
if they're not compliant,
Outlook,
and
or iCloud. Above all,
to you
don't trust links in unexpected emails.
And
if a link doesn't match up to
license,
what you would expect to see, the chances are it's dangerous. For example, you might receive an email that appears to come from your bank, but when you look closely at the link,
one thing, if you don't
it's
have
long,
a license,
confusing, and doesn't
then
include
you're not
your bank's name.
Paid.
These are immediate warning signs and can be easily spotted. As long as you're keeping an eye out for it, it's important to stop and consider before interacting with an email.
Yeah.
If you receive an email that contains one or more of these warning signs,
the
it's important to know what to do.
To
if it's an email sent to your work account, report it to your security team as soon as possible.
Let me ask you something, Anthony.
If it's a suspicious email to one of your personal email accounts, be sure to delete
it
immediately.
Going like
cyber criminals try to write your story for
you,
but you can close the book on phishing.
I want to be like in politics, or was this something that came later in life?
No, it's interesting you said that. I've been the Ninth District Council member since November of 2022, and I did not grow up saying, hey, I wanted to be in politics. I did grow up around when I was in my teenage years saying that I wanted to be of service to people. I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I just ended up, you know, in youth service, and I did, you know, I was doing helping young people become leaders and go to college and get careers and so forth for you know, over a decade. And, you know, it's basically volunteer and also as a professional. And I ended up working with elected officials, including Sherelle Parker, back in 20, you know, when I was in college. And I guess she would always see the work that I was doing. And she made me a committee person. And I took that very seriously. You know, everything I did, whether it was a volunteer or even, you know, paid position, I took it very seriously. And one day when she said she wanted to run for mayor, she thought of me for the position. I was like, oh, I'm good. I like doing youth work in the city. And she's like, yeah, well, I really think that you could do this. And, you know, I was encouraged to run. And I thought about who else was going to run. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take one for the team because politics is a lot. And I wasn't always a big fan of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially this winter.
Yeah.
Especially this winter.
It became more of a lot when I got in. I was like, oh my gosh, it was actually worse than I thought.
And that same
but
lot.
I love the government side, the politics side. I can really do without. But you know, you have to do the politics in order to do the service. But I, you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, I didn't wake up doing this because, you know, when I grew up studying politics, it was a lot about influence and power and control, and I just necessarily didn't like that. And, you know, still is, but you just have to find a way to navigate that in order to do the service. And the service in doing landlord bills like this, you know, is the reason why, you know, I love doing it because, you know, I taught kids government. You know, I taught kids civic engagement. So I was always around local government, always understanding it. And now that when I had the opportunity to do it, I was like, you know what, I can't take it up. I can't pass up on this opportunity because I got to bring everyone's voice that cares about government being well to this table, even if it means sacrificing a lot of my own personal life.
So you've got a couple more years left on your first term?
I do. My term ends January 1st, 2028. Re-election is May 2027. So we got next year. So
you're running again?
I'm Well,
yes,
right
he's
now,
running again.
Yeah.
You better. You better.
You know, there's actually some, there's liability stuff on stuff when you say it out.
Yeah. Now, I was just a hypothetical question. All right, Anthony.
Well, yeah.
I cannot tell you how good it is to have you on the show. And next time, you got to wake up a little earlier and actually get into the studio.
Yeah.
How's that?
Come on inside.
It ain't that far.
I'll come in the studio. Yeah, because the two guys around you are a lot of fun. So I'll come in the show.
You got it. All right. Thanks for being a part of the show today, Anthony. Have a great Saturday, and we'll see you soon.
You got it, bro.
Thank you for
my
having
best
me.
To the
Thank
family, you. Young man.
Yes.
All right. Well. Bye-bye.
those long goodbyes.
He's a he's a sharp young man, though. He really is.
Yeah.
And dedicated.
He's
sincere.
Yeah. He must have started pretty young, though.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about something which came up this week. I mean, we've got a bunch of stuff here to talk about that Ms. Sarah has prepared for us.
Sure has.
But I'm going to throw that all to the wind in a second.
Whoa.
I just think that there's
okay. Y'all heard him. All right.
There's things.
We don't know where we're going.
Yeah, no, we're not going there. There's things that are different, and it really became apparent this week between jurisdictions. So we talk about the way the law is, and most times we're talking about the way the law is here in Pennsylvania, occasionally New Jersey or Delaware. But there are such drastic differences in the law that I thought it was really important to educate the listeners about that.
About the differences from state to state?
What
are we doing? Okay.
Yeah. All right. The differences from state to state. So we had a call this week from a man who was involved in an accident. And he's operating an Uber, and he's operating the Uber on Long Island.
All right.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no place in this country I won't travel to, for the right fee.
You ain't going to Iran right now for any fee. But go ahead.
No. You wouldn't let me. But
no. Exactly.
I might try.
You ain't getting on the plane. Go ahead.
Sorry. All right. So this guy gets into an accident and. He's driving down a street, a car's coming in the opposite direction, and the car inexplicably turns into the driver's side wheel well of this client's car. Okay?
Okay.
Yep. They're going opposite directions, and the car makes a left turn, so to speak, into the rear wheel of the client's car.
All right.
Okay. Tears the car up. I mean, this car is, just... It's destroyed.
Yeah. You said it was an Uber driver?
Yeah.
Did he have a customer?
He had customers in the car. And so the guy comes to a stop, jumps out of his car, and runs down the street.
The person that hit?
Yeah, okay. The at-fault driver.
Hit and run.
Hit.
Literally.
Well,
literally.
Yes.
Literally.
Okay. Hit
yes.
And run. and it turns out that the car that was involved in the accident, the tags are bad. There's no insurance. Mm-hmm. And so I made a phone call to the insurance company and to inquire as to whether there was coverage for the Uber driver on an uninsured motorist policy. Okay. And here's the shocking thing. They said, yes, New York State. Mandatory $1.25 million in uninsured motorist coverage.
NYC?
In a quarter million. Every policy, if you're an Uber driver, has $1.25 million in uninsured and underinsured coverage.
Hold on.
Yeah.
$1.25 million.
That's right.
All right, everybody got that.
Yeah.
No, I had to think $1,250,000.
Now, in Pennsylvania, same accident, same scenario, jump and run.
Right.
How much does the Uber driver have or the passenger have here?
Well, since you put it that way,
I guess
sure
whatever they have on their own policy, right?
How low?
I'm going to say 25,000.
How about zero?
Stop.
Zero. Now, listen, we had Anthony on, and Anthony is a councilman, so he doesn't really enact laws for the state, right?
Right.
Only the city. And in this area, the motor vehicle code, that is a state mandated law.
Shout out to Jordan Harris.
Amen.
Yeah. So where is Jordan and the other ladies and gentlemen of the legislature
on this issue? Do we have to bring him in? Are you trying? Is
now,
that where we're going?
I want to tell you that when Uber came into the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to start doing business, they had $1 million in coverage. But then one day they opened their eyes and realized that the legislature in Pennsylvania didn't require them to have it. And it went from $1 million to 50,000, from 50,000 to 25, from 25 to zero. Like they just said, you know what, if the legislature is asleep at the wheel in Pennsylvania, we're not waking them up. We're not going to give these folks a nickel, not a nickel. But in New York, $1.25 million. So this Uber driver and his passengers, even though they got hit by a hit-and-run driver, will be compensated for their injuries.
What's interesting is the person ran.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't the car that maybe – so –
No.
So
no.
We're saying that the person that ran didn't own the car.
How do you know? In other words, okay, like people don't understand. If there is a what we call a phantom operator, okay, you might think that the owner was driving his vehicle. But in this instance, you don't even know who the owner necessarily is because the tags on the vehicle come back to another car.
So, but we just know that the owner didn't have insurance.
We don't know who the owner is. So at some point, you got to file a lawsuit, right?
Right.
If you want to get compensated and nobody's helping you, right? Like, mm-hmm. You got to file a lawsuit. You got to name an individual on that lawsuit.
Right.
You could name the owner of the car, but that's not saying that that person was the operator.
Right.
And so if I lend my car to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're not, I'm not asking you to go do me a favor and go pick something up at the store, like a bag of Blue Chews or something. I'm not asking you to go do that.
How many times has he mentioned that? Are you being compensated now?
Let's just say that you needed to borrow the car for you.
Right.
Okay, so you go out and you borrow my car and you have an accident.
And I don't have a license, so I'm...
Well, whatever. No, let's say you got a license, okay? Does my insurance, am I, Dean Weitzman, responsible or liable for your behavior? No. Like if you took off, if you jumped out of the car and ran away and they sued me,
uh-huh.
I wasn't driving the car.
Gotcha.
And you weren't operating the car on my behalf.
Gotcha.
Now, you know, I mean, I have sued the owner only to bring the owner in to question the owner under oath to find out who was the operator of the vehicle.
Right.
I have done that on occasion. But in this case, in this New York case with the Uber driver, that's going to be pointless because the tag is bad on the car. The guy jumped out. There's no way there's insurance on this car. Okay, this is just a bad situation. And the only reason these folks are going to be compensated is because Uber was required to have insurance for uninsured and underinsured motorists.
All right, so let's take this back and rewind, recap the beginning. The bottom line is Pennsylvania legislators need to get on the ball. Are you going to make this an issue?
Listen, I've been trying to make this an issue ever since Uber got wind of the fact that it wasn't required to have UM and UIM coverage and canceled it. I've been on this soapbox for years.
Wow.
And I don't know why the legislature, feel like they have to kowtow to Uber. I mean, you know, and not only Uber.
Well, rideshare, period.
Rideshare, period. Yeah. And also taxi cabs, you know?
You know what this is sounding like then? You know who is in charge of the taxis? The parking authority.
Yeah, they issue
the licenses.
The medallions.
The medallions,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This sounds like it may. Why, how would rideshare and the parking authority bump heads? I mean, why would rideshare do it? What's the leverage tactic to make them go, you got to do this? They've been doing so far without it. What could make them do it?
I mean, rideshare drivers are going to drive because that's what they do.
This insurance not only protects the passengers, but it protects the driver as well.
Yeah. What does it take from the company? What does it take from Uber? What do they lose?
They're going to have to pay an insurance policy. Right. But they're far better in a better position to do that than anyone else because they're the ones who are making the money and setting the how much a ride costs. So, yeah, maybe a ride's a few cents more because they have to provide this coverage. But that risk is spread over millions of riders. And so it's not that big a deal.
So you don't see any fight from the rideshare companies if this was to indeed become legislative?
No, there's many jurisdictions around this country. New York is an example that we're using today. There are many jurisdictions where uninsured motorist is required, maybe not $1.25 million, but there is a requirement to have it, and they have it in those jurisdictions because they want to do business there, and it's not cost prohibitive. They're not saying, hey, it's costing us so much money to have insurance in New York where it's mandatory that we can't make a profit, so we're not going to be riding in New York. They are still in New York riding.
Yeah.
You know, so come on.
What they're doing is just making more of a profit here.
What about?
But they're still going to make
Jersey?
A profit.
Do you know? Is Jersey the same? We don't know.
Jersey does not require uninsured motorist either.
Whew.
Yeah.
But Delaware and the tri-state, we not the high trifecta. We don't know about Delaware either.
I don't know about Delaware.
So if you are the champion for this, you know the lobby firms, everyone has a lobby firm to argue against. What's the argument to say you need to do this rideshare company? That it's not going to cost you any more. It's going to save you in the long run.
No, it is going to cost them more.
Well, pennies, you said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a risk that's spread over millions and millions of trips. And so, yeah, it's not going to add a lot to your Uber trip.
My trip.
But right. It's going to give you a lot of more protection,
Is the New York number a good figure to start with? 1 point a quarter. Would you start with that number? Is there a number you would start with?
I like round numbers, so I'd probably say $1 million.
Yeah.
Just from off the top.
Yeah. And precedents from the door. There's precedents.
Yeah,
so
they
go for
they
the million.
They previously had $1 million in an uninsured motorist in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Previously.
Yes.
Yeah. Until the light bulb went off and they said, wait a minute, Pennsylvania legislature doesn't require us to have any uninsured motorist. Cancel that policy.
And nobody noticed. It just went, oh.
I noticed. I've been singing about it, but it hasn't had any effect.
Well, you know,
and when you talk to
listening.
When you talk to the politicians about it, and some of them are probably listening.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. When you talk to them about it, they get like a glazed look over their eyes, like there's nothing they can do. I can't do anything. I'd like to.
I mean,
but
all somebody has to do is just create a bill.
This is a benefit for. You know, you don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat to benefit from this.
True.
Everybody benefits
with
from
equal
it.
Equal opportunity here. Hey, legislator, whatever side of the aisle you're on, this needs to happen. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
They ride you all over the state, I'm sure.
Yes, they do.
You should have bought it up this week, Manuel, being that you were the man around town.
Hey,
bought
man.
It up this week.
Listen, you got to. By the way, may I real quickly, Dean, we raised the station earlier this week for St. Jude. In an 8-hour period, we raised $90,000 for St. Jude. No child will ever be denied care suffering from cancer. And we did all of it.
I wonder how much that organization raises, because how could anybody feel like, you know, not like everybody should want to give to that organization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time they come on TV, you see those stories and it just tugs at your heart.
It does, man. Yeah. He was crying. Those stories all day long, vignettes, and they really will tug at your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these commercials, a lot of them are just heart tuggers.
It is. They were. It was hard not to be misty-eyed after the day was over.
Well, the 90,000 is a demonstration of the success.
Yes.
Yeah, and we have
the generosity of our people.
And we found out, Dean, people were calling from all over the country because of the app. California, Georgia, Maine, as well as Newark and New York and Philly. It was amazing. It really was.
Awesome. Awesome. 215-227-2727. How do you guys feel about the fact that every time you get into a taxi or a rideshare in Pennsylvania, you know, and so, here's the...
I didn't think about it.
Here's
and that's the problem. People don't think about it.
Here's the criminal part of it. If I get into a rideshare, right, I have uninsured motorists because I own cars, and I know that it, you know, getting out of the house in the morning and leaving, there's a very good chance that I would be involved in a bad accident involving a car. Okay, it's just something that we'll all experience at some point in our lives.
Yeah,
and so I'm protected. If I'm in that ride share and I'm hit by an uninsured driver, I go back to my policy at home. Even though I'm not driving my car, I go back to my policy. But here's the criminal part. All those folks who rely upon rideshare, who don't own a car, okay, they can't buy uninsured motorists. They can't protect themselves. Their only shot at being protected is if the people who own that car and put it out on the street for ride sharing give them the uninsured motorist protection.
I don't think a lot of folks even know this, that this is happening when they call. I got neighbors. This is all they do. They don't own cars. This is all they do.
Yeah, I get it.
Wow.
I get it. And so they can't really protect themselves, and the legislature has seen fit not to protect them as well.
Something's going to change this year, Dean.
215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. Folks, may I suggest you use that number to ask any legal issue or question you have, because we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I would like to see the lines full of callers.
Yes.
Who have interesting questions to ask, and I intend to answer them. 215-227-2727. Be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah. Good morning. We're back.
Bless you.
I was just wondering if the call forwarding was working. That's all. I was concerned.
Oh, you're ready to roll some hairs, weren't you?
Yeah. But I'm happy to say it's not. Okay, line two, Tina.
Hi, Tina.
How are you?
Good, thanks. What's happening?
So I was just listening to you guys talk about the Uber thing, and I was saying, like, I'm going through something similar. I have a default judgment coming up with Uber because they had a driver that T-boned my car from a right turning lane trying to go into a left lane and hit my car. But the person was not the owner of the car. That person that was driving the car didn't have insurance. The owner of the car didn't have insurance, and Uber is like, we're not paying.
Yeah.
So I want to know that process.
Well,
when I was talking to my attorney, they said that we'll have to do a default judgment, and then I'll probably have to do a collection lawyer. And I'm just like, this is absolutely insane when somebody hit my car.
Yeah. Okay, so let me tease this out for a second. She's involved in an accident with somebody who's driving on the app, but it's not their car. They're not the driver who Uber thinks is driving for them. Sometimes somebody who's qualified to be an Uber driver, they dish the car out to, they lease it out to other people, like, who can't get qualified, and then they get a little piece of the action.
How do you get away with that? Your photo shows, the driver's photo shows up on the app. It's got to, and they have to call.
But do people really pay attention to that?
I think so.
To people's faces?
But meanwhile, Tina's question is different. She sues the drivers or driver of the car. And the question is, does Uber have any responsibility? Uber is going to take the position that the drivers are independent contractors.
That's right.
And that Uber just runs the app platform that they're using and has no control or responsibility over the driver. So Uber's not paying. The driver has no insurance. She's going to get a judgment against the driver, but will she ever collect a nickel of that judgment? Chances are slim.
None.
Slim. No, I won't
because
say
there's no
I'm
none.
Not, because, I'm not going to say none because there's an issue here where she can have the driver's license revoked the second she gets that judgment. Tina, the second you get that judgment, you need to march that judgment to the PennDOT, and you need to have that driver's license revoked. And it will not be restored until you, Tina, tell the DMV that you allow it to be restored.
But question, going back to Uber, right? Aren't they required to have their drivers to have insurance? Isn't that a requirement of being an Uber driver?
Yes, but these people weren't supposed to be driving in the first place. They're not the ones that Uber thinks are driving that car.
They're subcontracted.
Yeah. Let me hear from Tina. You quashed her. Yeah. Tina?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, so, I think you have some control over this. Once you get a judgment against the driver, you can have their driver's license revoked. It will not be restored until you tell them that he's paid you and that you're not objecting to it being restored.
Okay.
And that'll last his or her lifetime.
Yes, indefinite.
Yeah, it's indefinite. So you do have some control over the situation, though I would rather you be in a situation where you had uninsured motorist or uninsured. And I assume you don't, because if you did, you'd already been paid, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. So what that tells me is you're a recent listener to Court Radio, because if you're an old head, you'd have known to get uninsured motorists.
But that's if she owns a car.
That part. She does. I think she does. Uber driver drove into her car.
Right.
You need to go get uninsured. Half the people in Philly don't have insurance, and the other half don't have enough insurance. Right. So it's almost guaranteed that you need uninsured and underinsured motorist.
So her chances are slim and shady.
Yeah, slim and shady. I mean, like, you know, if you get hit by me, that's, you know, you hit the lottery.
Don't say that, man.
What? Because, I mean, you know, I have enough insurance to compensate almost any injury I might cause. Mm-hmm. And, but how often does that happen? You know what I'm saying, Tina? You know, it doesn't take a lot to have a significant case. And God forbid, if that happens, you want to make sure that you've protected yourself and your family. Get uninsured and underinsured motorists. Yep. Tina, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Saturday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Then you just put a target on your back. Don't say that again. Don't say that again.
I'm a very careful driver.
Okay, Rain Man.
It was like, Johnny was in the car with me today coming to the studio, and he had both hands gripping things. And
it was a white knuckle. White knuckle.
That sounds about right.
All right. Let's talk to Alex.
Morning, Alex.
Shalom. Shalom, Mr. Weissman.
Hey.
I'm sorry, I went into my Russian tangent. I'm sorry.
You went global on us.
You did.
Yeah, I'm probably only one of few black men that actually can speak Russian.
Yeah, well, that makes you a black Russian.
Exactly.
Drink up.
I got the joke. good day, everyone.
Good day,
my big brother, Manuel Glenn.
Morning, Alex.
On, sir?
How are you?
And Mr. Tactics. My favorite DJ. What's going on, sir?
I'm good.
How's everyone doing? Good. My quick question, when you had the councilman on earlier about the landlord, is there, like, can you go on the city website and find out, because it's a quick question, and find out whether your landlord is licensed to rent to you or not? You know, because that's what I was thinking about, you know, because you got so many slumlords out here, you know, and I was just wondering, was there a city website that they might have? You can publicly find out.
You can verify if your landlord has a rental license in Philadelphia by using online city resources. The most direct method, searching for the property address on the Philadelphia Atlas tool.
Atlas.
A-T-L-A-S. A-T-L-A-S. Okay. Philadelphia Atlas tool. Under the Licenses and Inspections tab to find active, inactive, or expired licenses. Landlords in Philly must hold a valid license. Philadelphia Atlas tool. Alex, does that answer your question? Of course it does. Do you know why?
Remember.
What?
Say it again.
What? Did you
say it again?
I said
no,
that answers your question, right?
Oh, most definitely. And yeah, I know you're a careful driver. I know I would be a careful driver too with some of the vehicles that you possess. I'm sure you're well covered.
I let it fly on the racetrack, you know?
That's where
I do my racing, on the racetrack.
Okay, a man after my own heart, because I'm a car enthusiast myself. You know, I'm still kind of mad at myself. I sold my Shelby. I had a Shelby.
I was getting ready to bring that up. Wow. Did you really?
Wow.
Yeah. Because most people know Carroll Shelby for Mustang, but he worked with Dodge and Lee Iacocca for 2 years because he fell out with Edsel Ford.
He did.
The third. And, you know, he said, all right, I'll go to Dodge.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick. We do have to move on. Just give me the short version. Why'd you sell your car?
Well, I had an accident and I did some damage to the front fender. And, like, I didn't really feel like fixing it. I could have fixed it myself, but I didn't want to take it to a shop either. Then I bought another car and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sell it. And once I found out afterward, I'm like,
Did you regret selling it?
Is a pig pork?
Pig pork.
7-Up.
Yeah.
Was it Shelby blue? What color?
No, actually it was black and red.
Because it
was called a Dodge Omni GLH.
All right, we got to run, GLH. Alex. Love you.
Yeah.
Got to run.
All right, have a good one.
You
be
too,
well,
Alex.
My friend. Let's talk to Theo on line 4. Oh, Theo. And by the way, folks,
hey,
I just, Hold on one sec, Theo. I just want to thank everybody. You're listening to me and following good, orderly direction and calling.
And you are the award-winning law firm.
Yes, we are.
Thanks to these listeners.
Yes, we are. All right, Theo, it's all about you now, sir. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Weissman?
Good.
I wanted to ask you, I'm not going to be as long as my previous caller now. First of all, you spoke about uninsured. I'm in Delaware. You spoke about uninsured motorists and underinsured where you were not driving, say you were a passenger, but you were still covered. Also, I'm a first-time caller. I like to get a shirt.
Brother, yes, I am so happy to give you a shirt. Yeah, we got you. So at the end of the call, just stay on the line, and I'm going to have Sarah circle back with you to get an address.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So what's your question again?
My question is, you spoke about you were a passenger in the vehicle with underinsured motorists. Your policy was at home, and you were still covered, even though you were not driving and it was not your vehicle.
Yes, that is correct.
Uninsured.
Yes, yes. Okay, first off, let's go through Delaware. Delaware requires the offer of uninsured and underinsured motorists, but policyholders are not required to take it. So similar to Pennsylvania and New Jersey. But if you choose to buy uninsured and underinsured motorists, then that coverage applies even if you're not operating your vehicle at the time of the accident. So you're in a friend's car driving, and another car is at fault. They crash into your friend's car. You're injured seriously. You collect money from the at-fault driver. But his policy is insufficient to fully compensate you. You then go to the underinsured motorist carrier for the car you're in. Still, you collect that policy and you're not fully compensated. You have a very significant injury. You can then go to your household coverage. Each of these layers is responsible. But again, I have to warn my listeners that there are significant differences between jurisdictions. For instance, if you're in New Jersey, and let's just say, Manuel, that you have a $1 million injury, whatever it is, it's worth $1 million. The car that you're in New Jersey that you own has a $100,000 uninsured, underinsured motorist policy. The car that struck you has a $100,000 liability policy. The car that struck you, it pays you $100,000. But now, in my way of thinking, you're still underinsured for $900,000, right? Your case was worth $1 million, but you've only gotten $100,000.
Right.
Where's
the other $900,000 come from?
And you say, well, I'm going to go back to my underinsured policy in household. I have $100,000. But if you live in New Jersey, that household policy says, uh-uh. We take your policy, your $100,000. We deduct what you collected from the at-fault driver, which is $100,000 in this case, and that leaves you zero. Same accident in Pennsylvania. They don't care that you collected $100,000. They look at the value of your injury and say, okay, $1 million injury, you got $100,000 from the at-fault driver, you still are entitled to $900,000. You have $100,000 at home, we're giving you the $100,000.
Pennsylvania jurisdiction.
Yes.
Not so much in Jersey.
Right. Jersey, whatever you have on your policy at home is the maximum you'll ever recover in that accident from all sources. Mm. Got it. Theo, thank you for your interesting question. Stay on the line. Sarah will come back to you to get your address.
So nuanced.
Thank you, sir.
It is so nuanced. It is.
And what do you attribute that to?
Well, the United States Constitution gives states the right to enact laws for their state. And so these types of laws, these motor vehicle codes, are a patchwork of law around the country, and it's what's important in your state, right? So we know in New York, it's important for those folks. They deem it important to have uninsured motorists on their Uber cars. Our boneheads in Harrisburg do not deem it important. We don't want to put New York's what they deem to be important and force us to do the same thing. So we're independent. Each state is independent of the other, unless it's a federal issue. But there are very few federal issues, and certainly when it comes to trucking laws, those are federal laws. Okay,
you're on highways so often.
There's also Department of Transportation laws for Pennsylvania. So there's PennDOT.
That's state.
But then there are also the federal trucking regulations that they have to adhere to. But regular old driving your car kind of stuff, that's just state by state, and it's the luck of the draw. We got another caller, and we got time for one more before break.
We're up against that clock.
We got 3 minutes. We'll take a quickie. How about Sue? She's been very patient. Line 5.
Morning, Sue.
Sue, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello. Good
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question,
Sue? How is everyone?
Sue? We're good.
We're good.
My question
Thank you.
My question is not in regards to Lyft driving or anything of that sort.
That's okay.
It's in regards to an assisted living facility. I was a supervisor there. They house mental health and disabled individuals. Now, as a supervisor, I was a mandated reporter. Being a mandated reporter, if you don't report, and I have looked up case laws, if you don't report, you could be prosecuted with criminal charges. I did the right thing. These CEOs of this company abused the individual, beat them, drug them, punched them, kicked them, choked them on the corner of 62nd and Ludlow. I turned the video in, and the state, as adult sexual services, handled them, where though now they're fighting for their license. However, these people have been harassing me, defaming my character, and trying to humiliate me and retaliate against me ever since. Our question would be, who is there to help mandate report? Because when mandators don't report, they're getting served by the city. So who's here to assist mandated reporters when they do the right thing to report? Because these people done came to my house to fight me. They have sent VHS.
You still working there? You still working there?
No, I quit because of them trying to force me to say and do things that was falsified, to falsify documents because they were being investigated for individuals.
So my question, I guess, here's we're up against this, our next break, but I just want to say that you should probably call the office on Monday, and we may be able to assist you in getting a referral to an attorney who does employment cases, because it sounds like a classic hostile work environment situation that maybe you'd be entitled to be compensated. In other words, you didn't leave because you had another job or you didn't like the place. You left because it was so hostile you couldn't continue to work there. And that's a classic case where, you know, folks can get damages against their prior employer.
Okay.
So, you know, you have the power. I'm going to give you the power, and you can exercise that power. So call us on Monday, and my folks will get you assisted with a referral to an employment discrimination and hostile work environment lawyer.
The same number you called today.
Yeah, 215-227.
Thank you so much.
Listen, folks, that's the only number you ever need. 215-227-2727. Put it in your cell phone.
Call it first.
Yeah, I mean, come on. How many times do people have to come up to my office and say, I thought you were a Philly lawyer? And, you know, I mean, or even worse, you know, I listened to you for years and I love your advice, but I had some tow truck guy got me after the accident and brought me into somebody else's office. I mean, listen, you've got to be responsible for yourself.
Lisa, thank you.
Take care. It was actually Sue.
I'm sorry. Sue. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's all right. Sue. That's what she needs to do.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes, folks. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you.
You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's More Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yes, sirree, Bob. We're back. I am your host, Dean Weitzman, every Saturday morning. Whatever I'm doing, I stop what I'm doing, and I fly down here to the studio. And
yeah, literally. That's the next. You might as well get a pilot's license now. Why don't you go ahead and fly planes?
Well, it's coming.
I knew it.
Well, first of all, I had a student pilot's license.
I didn't know that.
I closed down Northeast Airport when I crash landed once.
Yikes.
Stop
it.
Yikes.
Is this real?
It's a real story.
What were you flying?
Piper.
Get out of here.
Took my first solo. My teacher, my instructor, we were doing touch and goes. Okay. And then when we touched down one time, he said, the plane came to a stop. He opened the door, jumped out, and said, I think you can do this on your own. I said, you really serious?
You forced him to retire.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, you can do this. I know you can. Go for it.
He was, no, he was scared.
So, pushed the yoke up there and pulled back. And up in the air I went by myself. And I'm, looking down at the airport, flying the plane, blah, blah, blah. And I hear the tower talking to another plane in the distance. Mm. And the other pilot is, doesn't speak English well. So what I hear is, Piper 6743, turn left, and and he's like,
what?
And they can't communicate with one another for a little while, and then she just says, okay, tells that pilot, you just do donuts, stay wherever you are, and tells me, land immediately. So I'm like, okay. And so there's a way to shed a lot of altitude off of your plane quickly, by pushing in the pedals and doing, it's been a while. So, but you can gently bring the plane down as quickly as possible. And that's what I was trying to do. Now, this is very unfair to ask a student pilot who's first solo. And so I come down onto the runway with a little too much speed and I porpoise.
Porpoise?
You hit the runway, you bounce up, you hit the runway, and I then go off into the side dirt. Well, it had rained the night before, and the dirt was mud, not dirt, and the front wheel went into the mud. And so, zero damage to the plane, but they did have to shut Northeast Airport down for a short while a tow truck pulled the plane off of the...
Now, this is how old are you when this happened? How old are you?
I am in my late 20s, early 30s.
You're a young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for you.
Early 30s. And I guess that experience was so devastating that I never really got back into it again.
Dang.
I mean, I did fly a little bit after that, but it was never the same.
All right, so if we're ever somewhere
on a plane. I could do it.
You could do it.
I could do it.
You sure?
I'm sure. That's why I don't sleep on planes. Just in case they need me.
Is there a pilot in the house?
I'm a pilot.
Even if it's like a 16-hour flight to China, I do not sleep on planes. Just in case they need me.
So you really think, if called upon,
I will do it.
I don't know what they call the big 77, whatever the big plane.
The Dreamliner.
You could get in there.
The 787 Dreamliner, if I have to, I'm going to give it my best
and
shot.
Those people are in good hands.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Would you want to fly one just once and try to land one of those big boys?
No.
Never?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. Maybe I have to work myself back up, but you know, I don't know if it's the right time right now. Maybe I should hire somebody.
So you are officially planes, trains, boats,
and automobiles.
And automobiles.
Yes, yes.
Look at you.
I threw mama from everything. Sorry, Lenny. God bless you.
That's a good story, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting close to the end here.
3 minutes. What do you got? What do you got?
Real quick, let's get Alan on the line. Line two. Alan, are you still there?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Alan? You're a patient.
I'm doing fine.
Alan, from the looks of this question, you're a very patient man, and I'm going to try to get you moving here in the right direction. Alan says his landlord did not have insurance on his building for the 15 years he has been living there. Does he have a case? Well, if he doesn't have insurance on his building and something, God forbid, happens to the building, he's the loser, not you. How would his insurance have helped you?
Well, my question is, it was required. I contacted a lawyer. The lawyer said Pennsylvania law requires you to have insurance on any property that you're renting out.
Okay.
But I've been there 15 years, so he never had the insurance.
Right.
And my door was broken in by an ambulance. They came to get me. I was passed out. And they broke the door in, and I needed the landlord to come fix the door. And he said he wasn't going to fix it. And that's what started the whole situation.
All right. So here's the deal. If a landlord has insurance, it is probably for the benefit of the landlord because we, as renters, always have to have renter's insurance. The landlord's responsible for everything outside. But let's say the landlord's electrical system is bad and it causes a fire and burns your stuff down. Then you'd have damages and then you would sue him and, you know, you would win. In this instance, you could sue him for the cost of the door, and I can tell you how to do that next week when we have a little more time. Give us a call back, and have a great Sunday, and the rest of your week. We'll be back next Saturday, same time, same place.
Proceeding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
WRNB Media, Philadelphia. Mixing live from the My Philly Lawyer Studios. We're setting your weekend off.